This week we have an interesting topic to talk about, which is, what are the attributes of good data? How are companies using data strategically? And really, I think a lot of this is how companies can really understand whether or not they have their data set up correctly. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, 100%.
And so one piece of this is, or there are three ways that we're kind of thinking about this. One is customer data, the other is financial data, and the third is operational data. And I think Quincy and I have two kind of different takes on this. I think mine is more about the kind of process, documentation, and short-term thinking. I don't like to use buzzwords, but the great resignation, I think, should change the way that you think about the data inside your organization. But I'll get into that later. Quincy, why don't you kind of lead us off and talk to us about the what you consider to be good data and how you're thinking about these problems today?
Yeah, so I was going to say, first of all, like, I hadn't even thought about the great resignation thing. I think that's a really interesting point, and I am so curious to hear that point. But when we talk about data from, I guess, this vantage point that we're thinking about it, I was thinking of it in terms of like customer data, in terms of financial data, and in terms of operational data, right? So customer data is all the stuff that we already know, names, email addresses, like purchase history, and like web analytics and web behavior. And then also social media, any kind of surveys they take and stuff like that. Financial data is like how much you're spending, like how do you determine the ROI, like what's the performance of your marketing efforts and sales efforts and things like that. Operational, a CRM, if you're a company that ships and sells product, what is the logistics and shipping looking like? And then also, if you have hardware products and you're probably monitoring those things, they're plugged into an app somehow, like that feedback data from the hardware, right? So those are the three pillars, more defined is how I'm thinking about this. And when we talk about like what good data looks like, right? So if all the data is aligned, I think that for marketers specifically, you'll be able to determine the propensity to churn based on engagement, right? So we all know probably companies like Netflix or any kind of those streaming sources, they can look at what's your engagement rate on app, like how much content are you consuming? Are you even engaging with email sends and stuff like that? But if you don't have a really firm grasp on that, it's hard for you to determine ideal customer, ideal use cases, and if they are going to stay on the platform long term and have a low propensity to churn, right? And so I think from there, like, we're thinking of like what are those challenges with the data.
But so hold on, let me jump in here, because I also disagree a little bit, so I'll give you an example. For sure. Because most of the companies we work with are B2B. Yep. Most of the companies we work with are SaaS. And I don't always think the product usage data is the best way to predict churn. And I'll give you an example, which I think is what you're saying, right? You're saying product usage data can predict churn.
Yep.
So I was working at a company a couple of years ago, and we found out that one of our competitors was building our product. I'm not going to say the name, just... this was 10 years ago, but I'm not going to say the name. So, we found out one of our competitors who was a power user of our product was going to turn off our product. And what we saw while leading up to when they were launching that product, and even after they launched their product, they continued to use our product, but we knew churn was imminent. So I think in a lot of cases these days, companies, like certainly with some end user driven freemium products, you're going to see some drop off in usage. But for a lot of enterprise companies, they're going to continue to use your product up until the 3 months before they need to make the switch, or up until, like, you will probably hear about it from your sales team before you hear about it, or from your account management team before you see it in the data. And so I think the offline data that you're getting is often really useful. Like if you're getting on the call and they're constantly bringing, if you have a quarterly business review or you have a yearly review and you're looking at what's happening and they're constantly asking for features that you don't have, or you know, they're expressing their displeasure or they're skipping that quarterly business review. I think that sometimes can be better at like helping you understand whether or not they're going to churn. However, we're still talking about data and it's still a critical piece. Those types of metrics are metrics that you and I measure at Compound Growth Marketing, where we understand the health of the companies that we're working with. And we want to really, you know, be able to use maybe not as much quantitative data, but qualitative data to understand whether or not somebody is likely to want to move on from Compound Growth.
Exactly. So then I have a question for you. How do companies, or how can a company, like we talk about good data, but how can a company like mess this up? Like what are the things that they're doing? I don't want to say, well, I guess wrong is the word. Like what are they doing wrong to like mess up like potentially good data and a good structure?
Yeah. So in my opinion, it's constantly changing how they track data. It's not coming up with frameworks or systems to acquire data. And this is where it relates to what's going on with the Great Resignation, where I think systems, process, and frameworks for bringing consistency to a company is even more important than ever, because people are leaving every 1 to 2 years. And that especially hurts a foundational part of the team, like marketing operations or the operations team where data sits. We see it all the time. Company has Marketo or HubSpot. The main admin, the person who understands that product through and through, leaves. There's no documentation. There's no system, right? System would mean, or system, or by system or framework, I mean there's like logic that's used that can continue to be used even after that person leaves. There's none of that. The person did it all in their own silo and then they leave. And then the company basically has to tear down the instance and build it back up, the person who comes on board. And so they're going into these cycles of doing this every 1 to 2 years because there's no consistency across the different hires that they have on the team. And so I think where companies are doing this wrong is they aren't building the right systems to have salespeople input data, to have account managers input data, to have the marketing team input data. It's as simple as something like UTM tracking on the marketing side of things.
Yep.
And it's as simple as the fields that you like, training your sales team and getting them to input certain fields into their CRM so that you have a consistent level of data coming out of that system.
Yeah. So I think that kind of aligns with the challenges that I had on my side, right? Like the disparate systems. And so we're looking at one of the key factors that I see is the cross-departmental cooperation that's missing, right? That is a huge gap. In a lot of organizations, and especially going back to disparate systems, the sales teams are using systems that could offer beneficial data to the marketing teams, but the marketing teams have no idea that sales teams are even using those tools,
right?
And vice versa. And even top down from reporting, if we think about like business leaders, they want to see certain key metrics, or they are looking at things different, but they're not communicating. Not communicating that information down, and there's a lot of context missing, right? So just cross-departmental cooperation and alignment overall in the business is super crucial to kind of fixing the solving for the data issue.
Yeah. And so where, like, how can the, because we are seeing a lot more centers of excellence for operations.
Yep.
I see revenue operations I saw a big trend like 2 years ago for revenue operations to report into the CFO, which in theory was great. It centralized it, centralized marketing and sales operations. But what I saw was the CFO wasn't used to managing this. And so even when you kind of put operations in a separate bucket or like outside of the marketing and sales organization, it can kind of be up to the CFO is oftentimes most concerned about revenue. So they're going to spend 90% of their time on that sales operations piece. And there may be some consistency across the organization, but marketing isn't really represented in that decision. So what are some of the ways that you think, like if you're in marketing ops, A, and you're not in a centralized revenue operations organization, how do you choose when to cooperate, and how do you choose when to try to lead in terms of how a company should be leveraging their data?
Ooh, that is a really amazing question, and I think it comes with a shift, a mindset shift, from marketers to be, to go from like this idea, like we talk a lot about campaign calendars from a marketing side, and a lot of it is like fanciful when we think of like what marketing does, design and stuff like that. And so with the shift to performance, like I think that me as a marketer, if I were to go in an organization, I would want to be a part of or have some seat at the table for like when we're doing our overall business planning and strategy, right? Because you want to be aligned from the get-go so that that business alignment can help inform strategies, channels, spend, all that stuff throughout the year. So I would say from the beginning, like at planning stages, we're in Q1 right now. Executives are meeting, offsites are happening. Me as a marketing stakeholder, I would either want to be that person or I'd be pushing my leader to say, hey, we need that direction. We need you to have a voice based on the information that we have from our systems.
Yeah. And how? What do you think the most critical pieces of data, like where, so I think about it as like keys, the connectors, that the data that connects between your marketing automation system and your Salesforce and your customer support system. Like do you agree that that's the most important pipeline of data between those kind of customer facing organizations?
Yep, most definitely.
Finance, I guess, is another one that you brought up earlier, but for the sake of kind of understanding what you should be doing and executing against, I think that data is pretty, the customer lifecycle data is pretty critical. But what do you think like the key moments, the key tracking that needs to happen across those different organizations in order for marketing to be successful? So what does account management need to be? What do we need to make sure we're getting from account management that lines up with the rest of our data? What do we need to make sure we're getting from sales that lines up with the rest of our data?
Yeah. So if we talk about like, if we're talking from a customer lifecycle perspective, right? Like, I think you had brought this up on a post about the poor MQL. The poor MQL doesn't get the reputation that like it should, and it's because, again, we talk about the silo thing. There's not a lot of collaboration between the sales and the marketing team to like, hey, what does good look like as far as a lead, right? And then that feedback loop is also not happening from the sales back to the marketing team. Is like, yeah, like this is sales qualified. This is the conversation that we had. These were the kind of the pain points, so that marketing can make more informed decision and begin to segment their customers even further. And especially when they're going out and doing like demand gen. And so now we have these segmentations based on real-time conversations of sales through to an opportunity and things like that. So visibility down the pipeline, but then also communication across departments are kind of key indicators or key things that we can have as marketers to contribute to like our strategy how we're pushing things out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one thing that I've seen recently that's pretty interesting, I've been working with a company called Spool App, And it's, they're really focused on connecting the customer lifecycle. So I think especially when you go from sales to onboarding or customer success, like it's really important for your account management team, customer success team to understand why a company purchased the product and what they're going to be most focused on. And that is critical across a ton of service organizations. Even you know, restaurants and hotels, it's important to know member preferences or people who are visiting, what their preferences are. So we see that across a number of industries, but I think this app Spool is really cool because it's using, like, it's able to pull out the contextual information and pass that down the funnel. Now, what I want to see them start to do is pass that data back up the funnel. And so we see that with some tools like Chorus and Spool and Gong, where they are giving feedback to the marketing. But at this point, I don't think they're using it as much for quantitative data points as they are for intelligence on who their persona is.
I think a really interesting one that is more so marketing and like call center focused is CallRail. Just because it's just like kind of that recording, but you can also pull out those keywords, you can set keyword parameters, and it plugs into like your paid acquisition sort of components. And so you kind of build based on real-time customer data into your call center, like what the conversations are, what the triggers are, and like how you can kind of push those. If that conversation has something to do with one of your keywords, you can kind of push that and say it's MQL, SQL, and stuff like that. And it's a kind of a way for marketers who operate in kind of a call center capacity to inform the customer lifecycle as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you see a day where we're able to kind of pull information from conversations and have fields in Salesforce that we're able to like understand? Like another example I have of this is we have one of our customers is reaching, like on the first sales call, they're asking how somebody heard about them. And so there's, you know, there's attribution, there's web analytics attribution, which is great, but it doesn't tell you the whole story. We've been seeing a ton of branded traffic and a ton of direct traffic for years. Understanding how people heard about the product or why they're coming back is really critical. And so that was one of the big use cases I saw with like Chorus and Spool of being able to kind of pass that data back.
Yeah. No, I think that is super awesome. And I think the one thing everybody's been trying to figure out voice for forever. I think it's been like 4 or 5 years now that it's kind of been the topic of conversation, alluding now to like voice assistants, like, but nobody really knows how to use that data as of yet. But the interesting thing is, like, once we're able to, like, I think that we're going to be able to get more of a personalized view into like individual customers and individual businesses, right? Because a lot of times people won't truly rationally tell you how they feel, like by behavior or by on the web, right? But like if you're having these conversations, like you can get true sentiment, because like a lot of times it is subconscious first response, like stream of consciousness. They're gonna tell you how they feel. Yeah. So
that's what I've learned the last couple of years is you hear a lot on the sales calls, and your LinkedIn posts today kind of fall in a similar thread, where I think you've been noticing too, more people are seeing you than are acknowledging you through engagement online.
Exactly.
For yesterday's post. It doesn't matter. This isn't going to be posted tomorrow. Let's get back to the data though, because I know when we were initially talking about this subject, you were talking about the differences, like some of the challenges we see with offline data and kind of aligning the organizations around data. So what are like some of the, what are the, How do we say this? Like, what are some of the red flags you see when you're looking at a company's data, and how do you think about those?
One of the main red flags that I see, and this like makes me cringe every time it happens, is if, say we're talking to different stakeholders in an organization and you ask the question about data sources and you get three different answers. And the one person is like, oh, you use that? Or like, I have no idea where that's coming from. Like, that is a huge red flag. And that means that there's not alignment, and that people are spinning up things. Or if somebody's like, yeah, we have this, but we don't use it very much, could mean that we're missing data, right? They could be beneficial, but nobody's evaluating the data. And so like,
And like, just to put that in perspective for people, that is a situation where one team's using HubSpot, the other team's using Salesforce, and the other team's using Zendesk.
Yep.
And like, the integration to Zendesk may be years old because the customer support systems aren't updated nearly as frequently by sales and marketing as the other teams. But that would be one example. And then the other example I see within the systems is people pay attention to different metrics, different fields, different. So in Salesforce, one team might use lead source and the other team might use traffic source or first touch source or something like that. And so drives me crazy because sales always thinks of lead source as the form they filled out or how they came in. So it could be like a conference, a demo form, whatever. And then marketing's like, that's great, but how'd this person get here? And so there's just complete misalignment there.
And I think the other thing that is like, when we actually get in and we start like examining some of these systems, the other thing that I see that's like really heartbreaking is that the teams do know that like sales is using Salesforce, and marketing's using maybe HubSpot. We get in there, look at the integrations just in the HubSpot, and the fields that the sales team, to your point, are using or utilizing and referencing and reporting on in Salesforce, they're not even mapped from HubSpot, right? So so it's like, how are we feeding this information over to sales if it's not even mapped? So
yeah, you're bringing up a lot of tough moments right now of the early CGM days. And then what do you think, like, what can we expect from the sales team to get data into the system? So I've said like frequently that I think the CRM is the front end, is marketing's front end to the sales team. Yeah. When a lead comes in, we qualify that lead. We want the sales team to understand why they should be reaching out to that person, who that person is, what they did on our site. And thus the training should be there that they know how to reach out to them and what the conversation should be. And they have all the context we can possibly give them, whether it's Zoom info data, data about what they've done on our site, et cetera. What do you think the expectation can be for marketing to get sales to fill out? Because marketing's been banging their head against this problem for years. And it's always like, well, we just need the sales team to fill out X, Y, and Z data. And I think we need to stop banging our head against the wall. We need to be realistic with what information we can possibly get from the sales team and make it as minimal as possible, but as powerful as possible. So what do you see here?
I think, and I love this conversation, my solve for it is automation, right? Like, so like, if we're having these qualitative conversations with the sales team, we have a full understanding of when X happens, like this is a trigger or an indicator for to speak in John terms, XYZ to happen, right? Like, so.
Why say that too much?
So the analytics say, But yeah, and so like we let's automate as much as that. Like we have the ability to go into like a Salesforce and automate some of these things and move people down cycles and not add more fields for the sales to do, because a lot of it is reporting based and it's quantitative like somebody that's a BDR may not need to see, and it's not relevant to like their sales action, but there are key fields. And so I would say minimize the fields that the based on the probably the hierarchy of your organization. Some people have BDRs to AEs to like field managers or territory managers, right? But minimize and only give the sales teams relevant information based on, I would say, their role, and automate the rest on the back end, and then like make it everything that we need contextual available so we where we can report on.
Okay. All right. What else? Is there anything we haven't covered here?
I think we need to know what makes, what are at least a few factors that would make people successful. Like, what can they start doing today? What's the actionable plan?
Yeah. I think we are into instant gratification. And so a lot of times we skip strategy and go straight to execution. Mm. And so for me, operations needs to be a little bit more strategic before they get executional. And that's building a system that the team can use, documenting some of the work for the team. But I think oftentimes, and really I think it's the hiring managers who do this, they bring someone in, they needed something fixed 3 weeks ago, and they immediately have the person dive in rather than getting a lay of the land and starting to think about what the right implementation is going to be for the company. So I think that's one of the challenges that we're seeing, that I see. So I think putting systems in place first, putting something that is going to be able to be a system that people can build on over mm-hmm. years. So there's logic behind why the data is the way it is critical. And then another thing that's just a pet peeve of mine when I go into companies, CRMs or marketing automation systems, is leaving data fields in there that are no longer relevant. So, you know, I see it with like industry data, right? At one point we had a ZoomInfo integration, now we have a Clearbit integration or vice versa. And so company size, Clearbit, company size, there are two fields in there and you never know which one to use. And yeah, exactly. it adds so much time to every piece of analysis I ever do. So remove bad data. It's not just about data collection. Get the bad data out of there.
Very valid point. So I heard remove data collection, document a process, and then really importantly, the strategy behind the data, not only just data, but like marketing and sales, because that allows for a repeatable process. And relating back to your great resignation, if somebody leaves between 1 to 2 years, like the strategy's still the same and you guys have alignment, and so it's documented somewhere, that way somebody can come in, understand, and probably ramp up even faster to get to that execution component, right, that people are trying to get to.
Yeah, it's also more scalable across the organization. It makes it more friendly for yep. you to hire more people without, you know, I think yeah, people get nervous when they don't have documentation and you hire someone and they're like, oh man, I need to explain this. It's like the, you know, the funky accounting systems I guess you've heard about, where people have their own quirky ways of keeping the accounting, and the next accountant comes in and has no idea what they're doing. So that would be the analogy for me. What about you?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel the same. I had the documenting and the process. My other thing is just alignment across the business. Like that is a huge key component for me. I think it's going to be one of those resounding, reoccurring sort of points, like in all of our conversations, is just having the conversation, knowing who to reach out to, and then setting like a regular cadence to make sure that you guys are still in a line. And if the strategy's changed or if something's changed, it's better to know those things on an ongoing basis rather than like be hit with, we're not doing that anymore. So
yeah,
I think that's super crucial. But yeah.
All right. Sounds good. That's all we got this week.